grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the message this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 58 as it has been read. Dear friends, this week we will be thoroughly entering the Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. And I certainly hope and pray that many of you can gather for this special service. Some of the things that are different about Lent than the rest of the year. Well, we kind of have a little bit in Advent season of the year. It's a mildly a penitential season, but boy, when we get into Lent, we're really into it then. And so we do things differently. One of the things is that we have in our personal lives and sometimes in our congregational living certain disciplines that we use during the Lenten season. One of them is fasting. Another one is almsgiving, giving to the poor. And how are we to see these in our relationship with God? What good does it do to fast? Or maybe it's not food. Maybe we're giving up something else for Lent. I always say, yeah, I'll give up Limburger and liverwurst sandwiches. Not a huge sacrifice. But the idea is that we concentrate on this penitential season by remembering things more clearly, and fasting can do that. What does it mean, though, in our lives to live a Christian life anytime, but particularly during Lent? Well, we have some good clues in the scripture, and they come directly from Jesus. Jesus tells us, and he told his disciples just before he went back to heaven again, in the last chapter of Matthew, the last words that we hear from Jesus are what? Go and make disciples of all nations. Well, that's what we should be about in this Lenten season and in every season, really. Making disciples, go and do it. And at the same time, when Jesus, just before he rose back to heaven, this time recorded by St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, Jesus tells them, you will be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, you will be my witnesses. So there's stuff to do. I thought I was saved by grace, but I got to do stuff? Well, yes, but this is not a new law. Jesus didn't give the Great Commission as a law or telling us that we have to be his witnesses everywhere we are in the world, but rather it's a joy for us, not an obligation. Fasting, in a way, can be joyful if we allow it to be so, if we do it in a positive way. So, the Great Commission, yeah. And he says, you will be my witnesses. And interestingly, some of you know this. In the Greek New Testament, the word for witness is the word martyrius. We get the word martyr. And so we have the disciples, many of them, and the church tradition tells us that all of the disciples except St. John died a martyr's death. They died because they witnessed to what they had seen, because they carried out the Great Commission, because they told everybody that would listen to them about Jesus and the love that he had, and that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And for many of them, indeed in the early days, for most of them, it cost them their lives. That's what witnessing meant when Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. Stephen, of course, that we traditionally refer to as the first Christian martyr, was chosen, among others, to be a deacon. And the work that he did on a daily basis was caring for the poor and the widows, making sure that they got enough food and that they were cared for. But he wasn't just delivering the food, but he was delivering the good news of Jesus. And that's what got him in trouble. Nobody would have faulted him for carrying food to the widows and the orphans, for the poor people, but they didn't like this talk about Jesus. It made them uncomfortable. And so it cost him his life. In the early church in Acts chapter 1, we also hear that the believers had everything in common. They sold their possessions and compiled the resources so that they could care for the needy. Almsgiving, giving away, caring for others. I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work. Sounds like a new law. I gotta do something. Well, and especially because St. Paul is our champion, right? Luther loves St. Paul because St. Paul says we are saved by God's grace through faith. This is the chief of Christian doctrines, not by our works, nothing that we can do, St. Paul tells us, will earn God's love. Nothing we can do will earn our daily bread, the forgiveness of sins. Nothing we can do will earn our place in heaven. Okay, don't have to do anything. Yay. I'm lazy by nature. That's good. But then we have our reading for today. And I'm going to come back to it, okay? I'm going to share it one more time. The prophet Isaiah asks, why have we fasted, talking to God, why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, God, and you take no knowledge of it? Maybe we're not fasting the right way. Behold, in the day of your fast, God replies, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you only fast to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day that is acceptable to the Lord? Sounds like there's a wrong way to fast. There's a wrong way, as we enter this Lenten season, to exercise our Lenten disciplines, if it's all about us. But then God goes on by inspiration, and Isaiah records, is this not the fast that I choose, says the Lord, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light, that's the kind of fast he's talking about. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. So apparently there's a right way and a wrong way to fast. There's a right way and a wrong way to exercise our Lenten disciplines. And it seems as if it's all self-centered, that's the wrong way. But rather to put others first. St. James writes that faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is dead. And he says, what good is it if you see your brother in need, hungry, or without clothing or shelter, and you say to him, be well fed, be clothed, and go away, but you do nothing, what good is it? I will show you my faith by what I do, St. James writes. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Also in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25, he gives the parable about the end times, about the resurrection and about the judgment. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father, into heaven that has been prepared for you. Why? Why? Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, I needed clothes. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you cared for me. And then those on the right will say, Lord, when did we ever do any of that? When you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it unto me. And so we have this twofold emphasis in Lent. We have the idea of personal discipline, which is good and is healthy and it can increase our faith. But that discipline has to be something that is not only internal but is external, and that we can follow God's will by reaching out in almsgiving and sharing. It is both. Spread the gospel to all nations? Yes. Care for the needs of others? Yes. Frank Sinatra was a great theologian. I think you knew that. And he had a song a number of years ago. Some of us would remember. Love and marriage, love and horse and carriage. You can't have one without the other. And so in the same way, these two apparently different disciplines of fasting, which seems to be personal, and almsgiving, which is external, they're really two sides of the same coin. And so we can do this as individuals and as families. And I know that we do. We find opportunities as we are in this time of Lent especially to express our care for one another and to do that as a Lenten discipline. We do that all year long here too at Our Savior, especially in the summertime. I'm delighted with your, I can't say this fast, I get tongue-tied, free flea markets, okay? That's such a wonderful idea, and I've had a chance to be here for a couple of them, and I see the kinds of people that you care for through your free flea, say that five times fast, flea markets. A wonderful thing, what an example. And so we also have opportunity to support the local food bank and offering food to the hungry. Jesus says to do both. He says, let your light so shine. And through inspiration, Isaiah concludes, then shall your light break forth like the light of dawn. My dear friends, we are entering the thickness of Lent. Let us do it in fasting, in almsgiving, but all to the glory of God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise. We'll confess our Christian faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Begotten, not made.